I have absolutely no doubt that there's life after death. I just know it. I've always known it. When I look back over my life, I've never believed that people died. It's like feeling life passing through you, and therefore they're definitely alive.
He's the most genuine medium I've heard for years. It flows through God. You know, he's got this gift.
In this week's Sound Fountain, Chris Chambers meets Gordon Smith, the Glaswegian medium and barber.
Okay. Well, this is me getting dressed now for the service, and because it's a Sunday service, it's only fitting that we wear a tie and kind of spruce ourselves up a bit. Because it's a church, you should show a little bit of respect, a little bit of aftershave and such. Right, that's better. At least I feel smart. And it's nice if you're standing up in front of the people to at least be a good representative for spiritualism. Bit of gel, just make it sit perfect. That's fine. Looks okay now. Ready? Off to the spiritualist church now, Chris. See how we can go tonight. Tonight we're going to the Glasgow Association of Spiritualists to do a spiritual service, which includes a bit of the religious kind of faldera that goes with spiritualism. It's only on the Sundays that they actually do this, where we have the whole sort of religious bit.
So they'll be singing as well, and
there'll
prayers.
There'll be hymn singing, there'll be prayers. I will have to do a talk on spiritualism as a religion. A brief talk, basically to introduce people to the religion of spiritualism, and then it's a demonstration of mediumship, which every spiritualist service includes. Right, that's us. Right, really I need fags. That's my only ritual before I do a spiritualist service, a cigarette.
Here we are, Glasgow Central Association of Spiritualists Services. Well, Gordon, we've come into a side room in the church.
Yeah.
The congregation are waiting out there patiently.
Yes.
You're sitting here quietly. Do you psych yourself up before you go into a meeting?
I don't have any ritual. I just mentally lift my thoughts away from the mundane, the everyday stuff, and kind of prepare myself to think, if you like, on a more spiritual level. That's all. I just pray that I'll help someone tonight. It's my only ritual. Ask that someone can be given some help or healing.
And you've no idea what's going to happen?
Absolutely none. I have no script. It's totally spontaneous.
Good evening, friends.
Good evening.
Welcome to our Sunday night service. And you can see what kind of cures this guy. Can't you? Anyway, we extend to Gordon a very warm welcome. Begin the service by singing Hand in Hand with the Angels. You may remain seated.
All right. Now, as I was sitting there, I had a very strong sense. Bless you, darling. All right, then. Now, I know I'm coming over here. See the gentleman with his arms folded at the end there, and the glasses, and you're looking right at me, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Can I speak to you? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. And I've seen a lady, faintly, coming in and stepping back from you. This lady's not long in the spirit world, okay?
They told my mum had just died, which is right, she died on the 20th of September.
It's almost as though she's saying she's trying to bring a family together, okay? She wants them all to be close. because she is the centre of that. It's almost like she's the hub in that wheel. And when she's gone, it's like a great big light.
There's been a lot of problems within the family since the funeral.
But the family.
She was also right in saying that she was the hub of the family. I mean, there was some actual phrases he was using, or phrases that my mum, or we spoke about when my mum passed away. We've lost the hub of the wheel. My mum's the one that kept the family together and all these sort of things.
Yeah, so I'm just seeing the letter A being written up above your head, okay? Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, somebody's just singing Living Next Door to Alice. Living Next Door to Alice. I don't know why that's vicious. The spirit world are trying to do things symbolically to get things through to you, and that's all they're trying to do.
And
they're
Living Next Door to Alice. I mean, that was her name, is Alice.
I always thought when you saw things like this, it was plants. I just thought somebody must have knew about them, it's a plan.
Somebody's expecting a baby, and she's saying, you know, when one of us goes out of this world, another one inevitably comes in. And this has been spoken about within the family, is that correct? And she's saying, well, I'll be there watching that child, okay? And another thing, can I just tell you, there's been electrical interference, and this lady's been responsible for it. And she's saying, again, she'll not do this all the time, just to say, I'm here, I've done it, I can do it, but I won't be doing it again, but that's just to say. And it's almost like it was just to get you here. Right, that'll get you there. And now I can say to you, she's quite happy. She's
the family she didn't know about.
The electricity thing, being this was a sign to come here.
Because she was blowing the lights in our house, and that's why I brought these two with me.
I can't understand this. Yeah. I am shocked. I'm totally shocked. I don't know how that has happened.
Come on, Charlie. Right, here we go again. Another Monday morning. Back at the barber's shop. This is my barber's shop, which is in the west end of Glasgow. It's called Gentry. And it's what keeps the wolf away from the door, basically. Right. How are you? Fine, yeah. Another Monday. Here we go again. Good. Into your bed. Good boy. This is Charlie, my little dog, and he comes to work with me some days. Well, Charlie actually is a prediction. One of my friends predicted Charlie for me. She drew him the day he was born. She drew this spaniel. And 9 months later, we got Charlie. And he actually, down to the very collar and little barrel that was round it, exactly as the drawing showed. I've actually even counted the spots on his chest, and they match up. Yeah, it was an amazing thing she did. Dronma's a psychic artist, and she draws the images sometimes of dead people, people who want to communicate. And on this occasion, she actually drew this pup as it was being born. His kennel papers showed that he actually was born on the day that she's signed her drawing of him, the 8th of December 1995.
Well, we're in a barber's. I know I haven't got much hair on top of my head, but fancy giving it a little cut?
No problem at all. Just have a seat here.
You probably get fed up with people saying to you, you probably don't need to ask what sort of a haircut I want, don't you? The usual line.
Yeah, that's now become quite cliched in this shop, but they do sometimes come in expecting me to know exactly what's going to happen in their life more than how their hair will turn out.
It's good for business.
It can be, and in other ways it's not good for business. If they show something on television or in the newspapers, the place becomes packed with people just looking for settings. They're not really here to have a haircut. The odd woman will bring her husband to have a haircut while she asks me if I can get in contact with her mother or something like that. And it's not really good because, again, a lot of my customers really don't want to know that I'm a medium and have no knowledge of it. So for me to sort of come out and say, yes, I speak to dead people, it's not the best thing to tell your customers in a barber shop. It's really bad.
So when did you first notice that you had this gift?
It's a difficult question, that, because to say I first noticed it when I was a child would be wrong. It was just a natural ability as a child. You don't know that it's a gift. You don't know that it's anything to do with mediumship or the other side.
But you knew as a child you had something.
It happened as a child.
What sort of things?
I would see people, I would hear voices of people that no one else heard, apparently. The only way I felt really strange about this was when adults around me would pick me up on things. If I happened to say, oh, there's a lady just told me such and such is going to happen. I mean, adults would look and say, what lady? Where is she? And I'd say, well, she was standing here. And it was their expressions, their tone, that told me something different was happening. My mother on one occasion got very aggressive and literally grabbed me by the neck. She was just shocked at what I'd said. She couldn't understand that I could communicate with her dead mother.
But can you give some examples?
I remember a friend of my parents appearing in front of me and chatting to me for at least 5 minutes, I would imagine, talking about his life, talking about his death. And of course it didn't even occur to me that he was dead, but he told me where he was buried, the graveyard, all the things. And of course as a child I'm seeing the physical man and wondering, oh, right, what's he talking about? Which I then ran in and told my mother about, and she became furious because they'd only buried the man about 10 days previous. And that shocked her.
So when did you actually start to develop your mediumship? You were in your 20s, were you?
Early to mid-20s. And it was my friend Christine, my colleague actually, we worked together in the hairdressers. And she lost her brother at that time. He died in a house fire. And I had this vision of her brother the night he died. He actually appeared in my room. And it was probably the first time I had seen a spirit figure since I was a child, fully materialised like that. And he just sort of appeared, he looked happy. I had no idea why he was there until the following morning I'd heard that he was killed in a house fire.
Did it worry you? You could hear things, you could see things.
It didn't worry me at all. There was a sense of going home, I suppose, when I went into a spiritualist church, because all of a sudden it was accepted. The very fact I was hearing other people saying they could see people appearing who had died, they could hear voices. So I thought, no, that's quite natural to me. And I wasn't afraid then to tell people. I was encouraged to do it, which for the first time in my life, I was allowed to do what was natural to me. So that was a good feeling, actually. I feel on such a high when it works.
Are you glad you've got this gift?
I'm glad I've got it. I'm glad I'm allowed to do it. And you do get tired of it, but when you see the reaction of the people who you've helped, then it just goes away and you think, no, I'll keep doing it. And I don't think I'll ever stop doing it. It's a great gift, it's a wonderful thing to give to people, but yeah, there are times it drives me mad. I have a lovely gentleman coming forward to me here. All right, I'll tell her. Because he's talking, he says, tell her I'm here, and I feel as though I've got his daughter, but I'm coming to the back on this side, near the back.
He came to me, and it was my father that he brought. And just everything that he said was just spot on.
With you just now, or to let you know that he's with you, okay? And if I were to say to you, my dear, he can walk better now, okay, because he was finding it really hard to get around before he made his passing to the spirit world. I'll tell her. Right, I've got a terrible, it's a deafness in my left ear here.
I'm being deaf, deaf, he had turned really, really deaf.
We used to laugh because the TV used to be blaring.
His legs had completely went as well, and then he says he knew that he's in spirit world, his legs are fine again.
The lady sitting beside you, can I speak to you? Are you connected here? Because you've bought a card for someone. Because he says, tell her I know about the card. Oh, really? Did you buy him slippers or shoes or something that you gave him for his feet?
Well, I just bought slippers for him before he died, and he told me about that.
Is there? You folded something into one of these pockets. He's been watching you doing this. There's something that you've rolled up and folded and shoved in here. Is that right? Because he was watching, he was there when you did that as well, Maria. Just very much alive.
A handkerchief in his pocket. I put that in the day he died when we went up to see him. And Emma put a card in, and he also said about the card. Just the spooky.
Okay, I'll tell her. And there's a lovely candle. It's a big candle that he's shown me here that somebody's just bought. And it's one of these, like a church candle type thing. Mm. And I don't know why, but when this is lit, it will draw them very close, okay?
everything he says was really accurate. He knows that I've just put the candle there, and it's like beside his photograph, so if the candle's lit, he's there.
Okay. Right. The Glasgow Cross, I've just saw the tower at the Glasgow Cross for some reason. Does that make sense?
And especially when it says it also mentioned Glasgow Cross, where my father drank in all the pubs down there. Like, different things
that
like
was
that.
His
so
bars.
That, you know?
It's just impossible for anybody to know things like that. That's no in the family, do you know what I mean? So
I was impressed with him. Very impressed.
Come on, Charlie. Charlie, come on. Going for a walk? Good boy. Come on. Come here. Good. Is that good?
Yes.
Good boy. There, time to take Charlie for his walk in the park. Come on.
Well, he's going to take you for a walk anyway,
yes,
by the looks of it.
Yes, oops, come on.
Go on, run. Crazy dog. Lovely old park, though, Kelvin Park. It's actually a lovely part of Glasgow. I love this part. The old university up there and the galleries over there. Nice place to come walking in the middle of the day.
You like living in Glasgow, do you?
Yeah, I do. I love it.
You were born in Glasgow?
Yes. As much as I love travelling, I do like this as a city. I would never really consider leaving it.
At the meeting last night, you gave a prayer, and there was a religious service there as well. Are you a religious man?
Not really. I appreciate that there's a higher power, a spirit energy or a life force energy. No, I'm not really that religious.
But you do believe in a God?
Yeah. Yeah, a higher energy, a God, a life force. Yes, I suppose so. Go on, find, good boy. Come on, Charlie, go find it.
When you talk of a spirit world, what is the spirit world in your mind?
In my mind, the spirit world is just a place where, or a place, it's hard to say even a place, a state of being, the next stage of consciousness. It's actually a much freer state of consciousness. It's very difficult to describe it, and any way I can describe it would make it sound material. I'd have to describe it with symbols like colours, size, shape, and I don't really believe it has those dimensions. But obviously, the sense of being in a wonderful place. Yeah, go get it. But I'm sure it is just energy. I'm sure everything's just energy. In this world, it's more solid, more dense. In the spirit world, we gravitate to a finer, lighter, kind of more luminous world, if you like, where everything gets lighter.
But do you actually hear their voices?
Sometimes. There's no fixed pattern to this. And if I have a good contact, the stronger they become attached to me, the more real the sound of the voice becomes. It will become audible at the side of my ear. When it's lacking, it's almost like it's inside my head.
You've actually been involved in quite a lot of research on mediumship as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I think for about the last 10 years, maybe a bit more, I've done some work with the psychical research team in Glasgow University, Professor Archie Roy and Tricia Robertson, and they're basically making a study of what I say as a medium, sometimes how I behave. I don't really know their findings. They have a paper now about to be published on it, I believe, but they never really let me know the outcome. So I just go and sometimes sit in a room, asked to give messages, I do it. The odd time they'll say that was fine, but they never really tell me the outcome. They're not allowed to, I don't suppose, until the paper's published.
I am Professor Archie Roy. I'm the Professor Emeritus of Astronomy in the University of Glasgow. And I've been a psychical researcher for many, many years. The evidence that I've come across by studying mediums is that there is a part of the human being that cannot be said to be physical. That part can work outside time and space, and perhaps even outside mortality as well.
My name is Tricia Robertson, and I'm the Vice President of the Scottish Society for Psychical Research. I personally just want to find out what is the truth. The sceptics say that we believe these things. I always say to people when they say to me, do you believe in this? I say no. They look askance and I say, no, I don't believe in it at all. I look at the evidence, and the evidence so far is such that there is a case to answer. There is, at least for some people, survival after physical death. But that's my bottom line, purely and simply, is to get at the truth in a scientific manner.
I certainly have had to come to the conclusion that many of the mediums are absolutely genuine in that they have a psychic gift. And I think that the thing about Gordon is that he seems to be able to tune in to people in a most complete way, getting names, addresses, incidents that occurred to them or to people they have known. And this he does again and again and again. It is fantastic.
We have tested his ability to give meaningful information to recipients. Now, it's quite complicated, but we've done it in a very scientific way where the recipients do not know that they're the recipients of a message, and Gordon does not know, as well as the other mediums, who the recipients are. Now, after 5 years of working in a scientific manner with a very hard protocol, Gordon's evidence is of a very high quality, which proves to us, in statistical terms, that he gives meaningful information to the intended recipients. There is no doubt of this whatsoever. There is no judgmental decisions in our work. It's yes or no answers. The statistics speak for themselves in two published papers in scientific journals. No sceptic has come forward to say yet that you have made a mistake, your work is wrong.
If the results are due to chance, then this second set of experiments have taken us 2.5 years. If we had done this every 2.5 years for 10,000 times the age of the universe, we might have got these results once. It's something like a probability that the results are due to chance of 1 in 100 million.
It's my observation through the years that Gordon Smith has a very caring personality. He's genuinely concerned for the people who come for a reading, knowing well in his heart the possibility that most of them have got a broken heart somewhere, and in some way he helps to heal that. He cares for the people. When he's giving a reading, that's the only person in the world that exists for him, and he really does his best. Money is not his objective. Gordon Smith, like ourselves in scientific terms, have worked for nothing for years and years.
On the face of it, his ability is to obtain information that he simply could not obtain through the five senses. Now, there are two particular theories. One, of course, is the simple survival theory. He is getting his information from the departed spirits of people who were here before. Another theory, of course, is that he is able subconsciously to tap the enormous file of facts, experiences, etc., that exist connected to any human being. Then he is subconsciously taking that material for getting, inverted commas, in touch with Uncle Harry, and dramatizing it subconsciously as if Uncle Harry is giving the information. But there is a third, that there is a sort of cosmic psychic repository of every single thing that has ever happened to every human being. Actions, accidents, their thoughts, their beliefs, their opinions, absolutely every single thing. A sort of heavenly database. Now, in a way, it reminds one of what Jesus of Nazareth said. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and yet not one of them falls to the earth without your heavenly Father knowing it? And then he looked at the perplexed faces of the disciples and said, look, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, if this sort of thing is going on, then perhaps with a few key words, so to speak. We're wanting Uncle Harry. That medium is able to tap into a cosmic repository of knowledge.
I've got to talk about a young man who's here, and it, yes, all right, and his name's Jim. All I know is his name's Jim. Just Jim's here. And this young man, I don't know if he actually drowned or whether he actually, the feeling I get is of him choking in some way. There's something around my throat and I can't breathe as he steps close to me. Really, somebody either was born or died at the New Year time. I'll tell him. He's also got a lady with him, and the lady would have passed with an illness like a cancer or a deterioration. But I know that the two of them are very close together.
Jim, the chap who was choked to death, right? When my brother died with spleen burst, and he was in the house, he'd sell it in New Year, you know. But he got a lot of accurate things. My mother was there with a cancer.
And if I say, from the start of this year, you've really not been yourself, okay? And he's saying he wants... Really? Who's had the problems with her chest and their heart? Is that you? Because he's talking about this. Tell him I know about that.
And I've got the bad heart. You know, I got a bypass last year and I thought my life was finished.
And there was a... You said, don't do that to me. He's saying there was a point at which you actually... you thought you were knackered. That's what he's saying. He said, you thought, that's me. I'm knackered. My T's out. But I've got to say to you, that's no true. Okay? Why? Who? Do you know who Bobby Glenn is? Bobby Glenn.
Bobby Glenn was my brother's pal.
To talk about Bobby Glenn. And I'm standing in a bookies at the moment and I'm writing, is that you? And he's saying, get... Can't swear. Can't swear, but I've got... You know what he means? Get yourself out of there, sir. That's what he says. Now, he wants you to know...
Quite a lot of things were accurate. He's very accurate. You know, the bookies that I gamble... I punt every day... You know, the day I said to my pally, man, I said, I'm going to chuck this. But it's just to get me out of the house, really. You know, I like a bet, you know, if it's on the telly, but I'm losing quite a bit of money, you know. But the night it was really good, you know. I wasn't going to come and I was indecisive, but I came anyway, you know.
And it's, again, he's quite really off the planet at times. He's really funny, if you could hear what he's saying here. But he's a nice... He's got a nice personality. Because again, he's showing me here where you've not had such a lot to laugh about, okay? And this is why he's saying you need to laugh. Don't forget to do that. Life's far too short for that nonsense to sit and worry all the time. So just get on with things. And
I think he's in contact with spirit. You know, I think he's a good medium. I think he's an intermediary between spirit and the earth plane. He's got a gift, you know, and he uses it and... The night I felt quite low coming here the night. I wasn't going to come. But it sort of perked me up a bit, you know, knowing that there's family there. I know they're not here in physical sense, you know, but in the spiritual sense, you know, they're helping me, they're round about me, and they're giving me a bit of support, you know. But Gordon is, to me anyway, he's the most genuine medium I've heard for years. It flows through Gordon. You know, he's got this gift.
How much alive they are, the feelings I get from the spirit people. It's life, I feel. It's honestly not like downloading somebody's memories from my mind or their mind or whatever. There's a real energy. And that's what gives me the buzz when they come close to me. It's like feeling life passing through you. And therefore, they're definitely alive.
This week's Sound Fountain was produced by Chris Chambers. This has been a Radio Netherlands production.